reading the Kiplinger's article talking about trying to select the top 10 cities, looking for cities of a million or less. And so how many cities were in the initial consideration?
Well, we looked at a wide variety of metropolitan statistical areas. So these are not just the cities, but the communities surrounding the cities. And we had about over 300 cities, about 310 cities that are metropolitan statistical areas that we were studying. So, yes, we had a list of 310 metropolitan statistical areas that we narrowed down to our top 10.
The article in Kiplinger's mentions using an organization to crunch some numbers to get to your top 10, if you could talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. We worked with an organization. We've been doing this for almost 10 years. We've been actually doing this close to 10 years now with an organization called the Martin Prosperity Institute. And they're a think tank based in, of all places, Toronto, Canada, but they do a lot of work with, they study population and economic prosperity in the United States. The organization, Martin Prosperity, is the gentleman who worked with us named Kevin Stolarik. Worked closely with a gentleman named Richard Florida, who wrote a book many years ago called The Creative Class. And that was the impetus for our feature on best cities. We wanted to find cities that had a very high creative class of people, such as writers, educators, engineers, people that are very well educated in their own way and accomplished and are helping to drive economic prosperity within the communities. So we work with these with the Martin Prosperity Institute, and essentially they give us some initial research, which we then go and do our own dig around a little deeper and do a little more investigating and follow up on that.
So the top 10 this year, how does it differ from years past?
Well, again, we're focusing on cities that are of less than a million of population. So normally what we do for our best, we have a different theme every year for best cities, and this time we wanted to focus on smaller size cities that have the big city amenities and that are very much cities that help encourage and provide for their residents a well-balanced life.
And how did the staff at Kiplinger's arrive at the 10 that it did?
Well, we dispatched reporters to each of the cities. In fact, I was—I had the pleasure of going out to College Station, and we, rather than, in some cases, it's easy for cities to, essentially for other organizations to just report from their desks and just kind of look at statistical data and come to a conclusion. Instead, we went out there, each of us, to investigate these cities that that we felt initially were the top 10, and did our own reporting and came back and had a closed-door meeting for a couple hours to figure out exactly what made where the cities are and of course, came to a decision on where they ranked.
10 reporters for 10 cities?
Yes, essentially. We actually had we had 8 reporters. We had a one reporter double up on, actually 2 reporters doubled up on 2 cities. So, but they still, we had everything lined up and got to incorporate our own personal observations and as well as what we had learned from our research.
Take us inside that closed door meeting. How'd that go for a couple hours?
Well, actually, I very impressive. I mean, the you know, College Station, we was ranked at number 3 this year, and that is ahead of cities such as Santa Fe and Columbia, South Carolina, Billings, Montana, Morgantown, West Virginia, Ithaca, in New York, Anchorage, Alaska, and Dubuque all came after College Station. The 2 cities, Little Rock, Arkansas, and Burlington, Vermont, came in at 1 and 2, respectively. But Bryan College Station came in at number 3, and we really were very impressed with the fact that the city itself is helping to foster new job opportunities for not only the students who graduate from Texas A&M, but also for people that are coming in from other parts of the state and the country for that matter, too. The medical industry has not only just in research, but also in hospitals and human, plant, and animal care have scored really high points for us, as well as the local community, which really does look after each other and supports each other very much and has a very, very highly accomplished public school system.
Any thought given before or after the fact that three of the top five happen to be in Southeastern Conference cities?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I think that's purely a coincidence. But it's interesting that to hear how well Bryan College Station is doing now that they've officially entered the SEC. I understand that that this is fairly new from last I think last year you guys joined, and now you're in the process of coming up with a $450 million renovation of Kyle Field, which will now I guess be the biggest stadium in the SEC conference. I took a tour of the campus and got to talk with some folks who are alums of Texas A&M, and they are they really did talk about the importance of the Aggie spirit and how prominent it is. In fact, I was driving after getting back from Bryan College Station a couple weeks back here in D.C. I was driving around and noticed a bunch of cars that have the Texas A&M University license plate holders on there. So there are quite a few that are around here. But what's interesting is, and on a more more heartfelt appreciation for the school is the concept of Aggie muster, which was explained to me, and was very impressive to hear that.
Something else I took a look at was just the populations in each of the 10 cities, and you have half of them that with a population of 100,000 or less. Is there anything to be said about that?
No, I would say, though, that when we look at population figures, you have to be careful because in some cases we look at populations, when we talk about metropolitan statistical areas, which is really what we're looking at, we're looking at, you know, larger populations, but even those, you know, We include both the city and the metropolitan populations, and we want to do that to make the distinction. But there are some cities that have really small MSAs, if you will, and although they're concentrated, you know, you think about the amenities that they offer, medical and educational opportunities, and you factor those numbers in how they relate to the population, they're proportionate to the population, so that's why those cities made our list as well. But smaller size cities obviously show opportunity and promise for those communities.
What other takeaways from this particular year's list compared to other top 10 reviews you've done in years past at Kip
Fingers? Well, in past years, we've focused on specific themes like where the jobs are. During the times that we were going through the recession, our focus was more on where you can find careers and cities that provide opportunities for entrepreneurs. This year, and last year, we also focused on cities that dealt with that we pick cities for different stages of one's life. This year, we wanted to focus on, again, smaller cities that had everything that big cities provide and that are places where people want to feel comfortable and raise a family and provide opportunity and also, you know, have the opportunity to enjoy, you know, arts and crafts and arts and entertainment and other types of lifestyles that encourage people to be out and about. And really this list, what makes it unique this year is that it really provides a unique representation of things that are promising in America right now. We have, we're now 4 years recovered from the economic recession that really crippled us since the Great Depression. And now as people are feeling more confident to spend and to start saving up as well, people are starting to spend more now and are starting to really want to explore other ways of living and other ways of enjoying their lives that they couldn't do years during these difficult economic times. And I think a lot of these cities on our list show that these cities in particular are showing some substantial growth based on the jobs and wages, housing, affordability, other factors that we include in our list. So I think these cities really do represent a very unique slice of American life in which there is opportunity for all ages and for people that are ready to live their lives now after going through a very challenging economic recovery.
And as you and your Kiplinger fellow reporters discussed this, did you all have the commonality in your respective cities of sensing that optimism?
I think so. I think for the most part, we were very impressed to see how these cities were growing or are growing in their own unique ways after this economic downturn that we're having. Yeah, there's all sorts of various factors that go into determining a city's prosperity, and whether, you know, based on cost of living factors, home affordability, wages, job growth. Each of these cities are showing noticeable improvements in those areas, and it's really nice to see that it's happening not just in SEC conference cities or in regions in Southeast, but also throughout the entire country, including Anchorage, Alaska.
And that leads me to, I guess, one other geographical question. Any intent to try to spread the cities out in this top 10 list?
Well, we like to provide as diverse a representation of America as we can. And one of the factors, obviously, that we considered was, and it wasn't that much of a consideration because based on our initial rankings, we did have a diverse spread of cities throughout the country. But we were conscious of hoping that we could be able to get cities from all regions of the U.S. And I think this year we were very fortunate that our initial research proved that was possible.
Reader feedback from the list thus far?
Well, reader feedback so far, we've just put this on we haven't put this out on newsstands yet, so we haven't received any formal letters with regard to the magazine article, but this does appear on Yahoo Finance, and of course a lot of people are obviously skeptical about the list, but that's expected with all these rankings, best cities, not just our publication, but other publications that do this as well. I think there are people that were very surprised that certain cities made it on the list and others didn't. I know I have a bunch of friends who I've sent this out on Facebook and sent the news out, and they said, well, why was my city picked? But, you know, these are the 10 cities that we selected this year based on the criteria that we used in ranking the cities. And just to reiterate, again, the factors that we used in ranking the cities include economic growth, such as jobs and wages, education, which includes the percentage of the population with a bachelor's degree or higher. So we're looking for a very highly educated population, as well as the housing affordability, such as cost and regional income levels. And also another thing we looked at is doctors per capita, how many doctors are within the city, and that's an indication of the accessibility of a quality, affordable health care. And other things that we looked for, like I mentioned earlier, the quality of the schools, which we measured by terms of student-to-teacher ratio, and cultural and natural amenities as well. For example, Bryan College Station is showing an expansion now of bike and hiking paths within the city, which is quite impressive. And and we also looked at diversity, too, a wide variety of different groups of people within the population, as well as the creative class.
Well, it has to be a real treat for those of you at Kiplinger's when nobody else knows what the theme is, and therefore there really can't be any staging of numbers or propaganda or anything. You know, it's a real internal process, and then you guys have the pleasure of being able to notify representatives of these cities, hey, we're coming to see you.
Yeah, we very much are conscious about making sure that when we do our preliminary research that there's no influence whatsoever. We've had cities, people, representatives in the past, write saying, "Hope we make it on your list," but we obviously don't consider that. We look straight at the numbers, and we really evaluate and question those numbers and dig around a little bit more and do our own research.
So when does this hit the newsstands?
So this is the September issue. It is going to hit newsstands on August 6th. So look out for it.
You bet.
And you can also find more about our best cities list and actually take some, there's a tool on our website, kiplinger.com, in which you can select what city suits you best and learn more about other things that other things about our best cities that that we didn't report in our magazine.
I think I also ran across in the online article a way to keep up on Twitter with each of the cities also.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can do that as well too. So we've got you covered in the social media landscape.